More scarce baby formula is on the way. And have you seen those electricity bills? I'm David Brancaccio in New York. We're leading with new developments that should, within weeks, help get more baby formula to people. A big factory in Michigan, which produces most of the formula, has been given the go-ahead to reopen after contamination problems. And more formula can now come from overseas. Marketplace's Nova Safo has that.
The Food and Drug Administration has entered into a consent decree with Abbott Nutrition to change safety practices and restart the country's biggest baby formula plant. It was shuttered because of contamination concerns after four infants got sick and two died. The decree is subject to court approval. Restarting Abbott's plant will take some time, though, and won't immediately help with the shortage. Abbott says it will take 8 to 10 weeks to get more formula to store shelves. According to the FDA, 98% of the country's baby formula is made domestically, with imports coming primarily from Mexico, Ireland, and the Netherlands. The agency says it's speeding up its review process for foreign-made formula, and additional manufacturers from Australia, New Zealand, and Britain are expected to gain approval and get their products into American stores. But those supplies likely will also take several weeks to arrive. In the meantime, the FDA says other domestic companies are increasing production to help meet demand. I'm Nova Safo for Marketplace.
With birth rates going down in America, infant formula is not a growth industry, which can discourage investment by companies. Retail sales went up 0.9% last month, but keep in mind inflation makes sales look higher. And here's something important few are discussing. In recent days, the Treasury Department revealed that money coming into the government is much higher than what it is spending, not a deficit, but a surplus of more than $300 billion for April. As we check today's Economic Pulse, it's economist David Kelly at J.P. Morgan Funds. That's a number looking better.
Absolutely. So we got the numbers for April, and the government often runs a surplus in April, but this April it actually ran the biggest monthly surplus in U.S. history. And what that means is we think the deficit this year is going to come down to less than $900 billion, and that's compared to $2.7 trillion last year. So the deficit is coming down really, really fast here, surprisingly fast.
So that's nice if you're worried about, you know, mortgaging our future and how the world our kids live in. And it's also good to know, given the fact that interest rates are going up courtesy of the Fed, that at least the amount out there might not be going up as fast.
I think the Federal Reserve should pay some attention to this, because as that deficit comes down, of course, it's taking money out of the economy, or at least it's reducing the amount of money the government's putting into the economy. So this is actually the biggest fiscal drag we've seen in any year since the end of World War II. And that means the Federal Reserve doesn't need to raise interest rates that much to slow down inflation or to slow down growth. So the key is not to overdo it here in Washington in trying to slow this economy down in case we tip the economy into recession.
David Kelly, Chief Global Strategist at J.P. Morgan Funds, thank you for the briefing.
Anytime.
Now, it's not just single-family homes with lawns that have been jumping in value. The condo market has been red hot. Condo prices up about 12% since the spring of last year. Here's Marketplace's Matt Levin.
I know it seems like everywhere you look, there's a luxury high-rise going up, but condo construction has actually never really recovered from the Great Recession.
It came down and it kind of remained at a fairly low level.
Robert Dietz is an economist with the National Association of Home Builders. He blames a decade of low supply for high condo prices and why first-time home buyers are struggling to get a proverbial foot in the door. The condo market did dip early in the pandemic as home buyers fled to the burbs, but Lawrence Yoon with the National Association of Realtors says urban life is making a comeback.
Some people have natural attraction to the city life, and the condominium provides that option.
Historically, condo prices have been pretty vulnerable to recessions, but even if the Fed's soft landing is more of a hard tumble?
I think this time is different because the concern on home buying is about affordability.
So even if there is a recession, there will still be demand for condos as one of the few semi-affordable options left. I'm Matt Levin for Marketplace.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.
A key part of inflation we're seeing, energy costs, not just gasoline and natural gas, also electricity, up 30% compared to a year ago. For people struggling, there is the government's low-income home energy assistance program, LIHEAP. Now, you'd think heating oil with that, but now it's the AC bills. Here's Marketplace's Samantha Fields.
LIHEAP is a pretty flexible program. Each state gets to decide how much it's going to spend on heating assistance and how much, if anything, it's going to spend on cooling assistance. Until last year, Washington State always put all of its LIHEAP funds toward heating.
We didn't have extreme temperatures. We just didn't have the need here.
Brian Sorensen is the LIHEAP program manager in Washington. He says things changed last summer after that infamous heat dome brought record-breaking temperatures to the Pacific Northwest.
There were 112 people that died in my state because they could not stay cool. And if they could have regulated their body temperature, it is entirely possible they would still be alive.
After that, Sorensen says, the state decided to use some of its LIHEAP funds to buy air conditioners for low-income families and help them pay the bills.
We didn't want to give families an air conditioner that would cost them more on their energy bill and not provide them with the funds to pay for that.
As climate change has made it hotter and more humid in many places, a number of states that have historically used LIHEAP funds just for heating are also starting to subsidize cooling.
I see nationally that programs are recognizing that cooling assistance is not something that is nice to have. It is something that we must have.
Katrina Metzler at the National Energy and Utility Affordability Coalition says the pandemic also pushed states to offer cooling assistance because it was unsafe for people to gather inside at public cooling centers. And Congress more than doubled the amount of funding available for LIHEAP as part of the COVID relief packages.
We have unprecedented amounts of resources, and I think that that has made it possible for programs who were never able to offer cooling assistance to offer cooling assistance.
But Metzler says that additional funding runs out this fall, and states are trying to figure out how to keep paying for air conditioning going forward.
This is all new.
Mark Wolf is with the National Energy Assistance Directors Association.
Programs like LIHEAP that were established more than 40 years ago were based on a different environment. They were based on a time when the problem was winter heating.
Now that cooling has become more of a necessity too, Wolf says, states are going to need a lot more funding to be able to help with both. I'm Samantha Fields for Marketplace.
And here's one more number amid the sweeping COVID lockdowns in China's financial center. Total new car sales in Shanghai in April. The number is zero, not a single car. Our producers are Rose Conlon, Meredith Gerritsen, Ariana Rosas, Stephen Ryan, Alex Schroeder, and Erica Soderstrom. In New York, I'm David Brancaccio. It's the Marketplace Morning Report. From APM, American Public Media.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? I mean, don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.